Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20? Matthew chapter 20. I've titled this message, Grace is Not Fair. Grace is Not Fair. The story our Lord gives in Matthew chapter 20 illustrates that very point. Men want to be treated fairly. I want to be treated mercifully, graciously. And they are at opposite ends. That which is fair, that which is what we deserve, that which is due, is just the opposite of that which we desperately need. Paul puts it like this in Romans chapter 4. He says, if it was of grace, or if it was of works, then it would be a debt. It would be that which is due to us. Let's look at that passage. Hold your finger there in Matthew chapter 20, and we'll read this passage in Romans chapter 4 as an introduction to this story. Grace is not fair. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation, physically, in the flesh. And if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If our salvation is by our good works, then the reward of salvation is a debt that God owes us. It's not of grace. But to him that worketh not, to him that's not looking to his own personal righteousness or his own personal good works as the hope of his salvation, him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, Lord, my works are not sufficient. I'm not looking for a salvation that's of debt. I'm looking for one that's of grace. For I am in that category of the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Grace or debt? Grace is not fair. Debt is fair. Debt is what you owe. You work and you deserve to be paid for it. I had a debt this morning. Marino worked for me this past week a few hours, and I paid my debt this morning, didn't I, Alex? Gave Alex a check to give to Marino. He earned it. He deserved it. That's works. But salvation's not by works. It's by grace. And it's not fair. God gives us what we deserve. God treats us fairly, according to our works, we're in trouble. All right, let's read this story in Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven, salvation, the hope of glory, the forgiveness of sins, union with Christ, relationship with God, that which we most desperately need, and that which at the end of the day will be most important to everyone, the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of this world. There will come a day when everyone will realize that the kingdom of heaven is the most important thing in all of life. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. He owns the house. He's the owner of the house. God Almighty Himself is the owner of the church. He is the owner of us. He is Lord of heaven and of earth. And He reigns sovereign over all of His creation. We are not our own. Carl, you read from Psalm 100 in the study this morning before the service. We're His creation, aren't we? And He stands as the householder of that which He has created. And this householder, verse 1 of Matthew 20, went out early in the morning to hire laborers into His vineyard. He's going to hire workers. He goes down to the labor pool. And there's people standing around. And He picks out some of those men standing around and says, come with me. I'm going to hire you and I'm going to pay you a day's wages for your labor. And when He had agreed with the laborers, He negotiated with them what their labor for the day would be worth. This is debt. This is what's fair. And they agreed on a penny. Now, that word penny is an English translation of the original word, which was a Roman coin. It was a silver coin, and it was typical of a day's wages. This was a man's fair wages for the day. Whatever they might be today, you could just say, well, that's, you know, he agreed to pay him $150, $200 a day, whatever it was. That was the day's wages. He agreed with the laborer for a penny a day, and he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour. Now, that would have been about 9 o'clock in the morning. The Jewish reckoning of time was 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It was a 12-hour day. So now it's the third hour of the day, and about 9 o'clock in the morning, he goes back, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. He didn't negotiate with them a price, did he? He just said, you go into the vineyard and trust me to pay you fairly for your work. Verse 5. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour. 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he's still hiring laborers. But notice he doesn't negotiate with them a day's wages. He just says, you go into the vineyard and labor and trust me to care for you and to pay you. Verse 6. And about the 11th hour, what time would have that been? 5 o'clock in the afternoon. 1 hour of daylight left. 1 hour of work left in the vineyard. Can you imagine going to the labor pool west and hiring some guy at 5 o'clock to work for an hour? That's what this man does. And he found others standing idle, and he said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. We can't force ourselves on anyone. We can't create work. We've got to wait for someone to come and choose us. And no one has chosen us, and that's why we're here. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. He tells his foreman, says, call all the laborers out of the field and pay them, and start with those that I hired at 5 o'clock. And when they came that were hired in the 11th hour, they received every man a demerus, a silver coin, a day's wages for having worked 1 hour. Paid him for the whole day. And he did that right on down the line until he came to those that were hired first. Verse 10, and when the first came, they supposed that they had that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Now, let's be realistic here. If you were that one that was hired first thing in the morning, you saw that the guy that was hired at 5 o'clock and worked 1 hour got paid a full day's wages, you would have assumed that when you got to the end of the pay line, you'd get more than what you negotiated for. That would only be fair, wouldn't it? And if you didn't get more than what the guy worked for 1 hour, what would you say? What would you say? That's not fair. That's not right. That's what I would say. If I'd worked all day, and I got what the guy that worked 1 hour got, I'd say, that's not fair. But this is not about working in a vineyard. This story is not about making a day's wages. It's not about laboring in this world. This is a gospel story. This, what did the Lord say when He started this parable? He said, the kingdom of heaven is like. This is a story about salvation. And the point of this story is to say to you and to me that grace is not fair. It's not fair. Grace is not fair. Grace is grace. And those who have received grace don't want. They don't want to be treated fairly. All right. When they had received it, verse 11, they murmured against the goodman of the house. Now, who's the goodman of the house? Who's the householder? Who's the owner of this house? Well, it's the only one that's good, isn't it? The Lord asked, why callest thou me good? For there's none good but God. It is His goodness and His mercy that follows us all the day. He's the one that's good. He's the goodman. There is none good outside of Him. The Scripture says there is none that is good. No, not one. He's the goodman of the house. And these that have worked all day long were murmuring against Him. They were complaining, saying, this isn't fair. This isn't right. Verse 12, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and Thou hast made them equal unto us? You've made those who work just 1 hour equal to those of us that have worked all day long? That's not right. For we have borne the burden of the heat of the day. They labored to get paid. That's all they labored for. And they begrudged every moment of it. They said, we've borne the burden of the day. Labor for them was burdensome. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. I don't do wrong. Everything God does is right. Why? Because He does it. You remember, God doesn't evaluate right and wrong and choose what's right. That's what we do. That's what we do because we have an evil nature about us. We've got flesh and we're confronted with right and wrong. We're always having to make choices, aren't we? And hopefully we choose that which is right. God does what He wills, and what He wills makes it right. It's just that simple. He just does whatever He wants to do. And the fact that He does it makes it right. And He says, I've done you no wrong. Verse 13. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? These that were hired at 6 o'clock in the morning, they negotiated their contract, didn't they? They negotiated their daily wages. They said, we'll work for you for 12 hours and you'll pay us a denarius. You'll give us a silver coin. You'll pay us our day's wages. He says in verse 14, take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. I will do it. What I give, I have the right to give. Matter of fact, he says in that, in the next verse, look at verse 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Now that's grace. God's saying, cannot I give graciously of what belongs to me? Now salvation is of the Lord because salvation belongs to the Lord. He owns the right to save whomsoever He wills. It's His sovereign prerogative to give the gift of salvation to whoever He wills. That's what grace is. That's what mercy is. Salvation, we just read in Romans chapter 4, is not of debt. It's not something we earn. It's not of works of righteousness. It's by the grace and mercy and will of God Almighty to give to whomsoever He wills. That's what this story is all about. Is it not lawful for me, verse 15, to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Evil of your heart. And what were these people doing? These ones that were hired first thing in the morning, what were they doing? They were accusing the goodman of the house of doing wrong. That's what they were doing. You know, that's what men by nature do with God. They accuse Him of wrongdoing. They think that God owes it to them to save them because of their goodness. And when they hear the message of God's sovereign grace in Christ, that God saves whomsoever He wills, and He doesn't factor in, not in any way, the good works of men. He determines it purely by His own election in grace, that election in grace might stand. What do they say? That's not fair. That's not fair. You mean to tell me that God just out of His own free will chooses to save some and passes over others? What's the first thing out of a person's mouth first time they hear that? That's not fair. That's not fair. Well, grace is not fair. And you don't want to be treated fairly by God. You don't want to be treated fairly by God. That's the last thing in the world you want God to do for you, is treat you fairly, is to give you what you deserve. You do not want that. You want grace. These people were accusing God of wrongdoing. He says, is thine eye evil because I am good? You're accusing me of being unfair. You're accusing me. So verse 16, the last shall be first and the first last. For many are called. The gospel call goes out audibly to all men. All men everywhere are commanded to come and to repent. But few are chosen. Chosen. The goodman of the house chose to be merciful to those who had worked 1 hour. Now let's put this into something that we can... Well, this story is obviously something we can relate to. Those of us that have worked by the hour, hired people by the hour, this is a pretty fantastic story. But this story is also telling us that... That the missionary who goes off into the foreign field, into a poverty-stricken nation, a man like, there's a story of a man that actually, a gospel preacher that went into a leper colony in order to preach the gospel. and actually contracted leprosy and died of leprosy out of compassion for those people who were infected with leprosy. Man goes on to the mission field, takes his family with him. He loses children and his wife sick, and they live in abject poverty all their lives in order to preach the gospel, and suffer greatly in this world for many years. You mean to tell me that that man's going to receive the same exact reward that the thief on the cross receives? The one who in his dying hours, after having lived a life of debauchery, after having lived a life as a thief, he confessed. He said, I deserve to be here. No interest in the things of God his entire life, and dies in shame. And in the last moments of his life, the Lord has mercy upon him and says, this very day you shall enter with me in paradise. You mean those two individuals? Yeah. Yeah. You mean Abraham, the father of the faith, the friend of God, the one who trusted God so greatly and is mentioned time and time again in the Scriptures as a man of faith, receives the same reward as Lot, who we wouldn't even know was a believer unless it was for the passage in 2 Peter chapter 2 that talks about him being a just man and a preacher of righteousness. Yeah. This idea that some are going to... Well, we're there in Matthew chapter 20. Turn back with me to chapter 19. Verse 27, I want to show you what brings on this parable. Verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? His very disciples thought that they still didn't understand grace, did they? Lord, we've forsaken all for you. What are we going to get? What's our reward? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first, many who put themselves first, many who look to their, what were these men who were hired than the first hour of the day? Oh, we've labored. We've carried the burden of the heat of the day. We've expected more for our labor. Many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Lord, I don't deserve what you've given me. I don't want what I deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I need grace. I need you to be merciful to me. Men in religion that are working their way to heaven, men who by nature believe that they can earn a place in heaven by their own righteousness, are really like these who worked all day doing it begrudgingly. They're not enjoying what they're doing. They're doing it for a reward. They're doing it for a reward. I shared this illustration Wednesday night. I think it's very appropriate and easy to understand. If you have a young child, or you can remember when you were a young child. Mommy's birthday is coming up. But as a 4, 5, 6-year-old child, you don't have any money. And you don't have any way to get to the store to buy a birthday present. So what's mommy do? She goes out and pays for herself a present for herself. She wraps it, puts your name on it. Time for the birthday party. Mommy's opening presents. And she sees this present and acts greatly surprised and excited about the fact that her little boy, her little girl has given her a present. She opens it up. The little boy, the little girl's thinking, well, I didn't do anything for that. Well, what does mommy do? She lavishes her affection on that child for having given her a gift that really she paid for. God said to Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. There are not degrees of reward in heaven. This idea that some are going to live in mansions and others are going to live, you know, I think there's even a song about having a cabin in the corner of glory or something like that. I don't remember how it goes. That's just so ridiculous. That's just so ridiculous. That one person is going to receive less than another. That's what this story in Matthew chapter 20 is all about. It's the affection. It's the love. It's the approval of God Almighty. When He receives back from us that which He paid for, that which He gave to us, we didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't have any money to buy it. We didn't have any way to go get it. Now, what happens as an adult? What happens as an adult? Somebody goes out, buys for themselves a present, and puts your name on it. And then they open it and they thank you for it. You'd be offended, wouldn't you? You'd be offended as an adult. Now, I have to tell you, that's not the way it works in my family because I don't buy any presents. My wife buys them all and she puts my name on stuff and people open it. I don't even know what it was and they thank me for it. But in reality, I help pay for that present. If somebody else pays for their own present and then they thank you for it, you'd be offended by it, wouldn't you? But as a little child, you just sat there and just ate up the affection of the one who was thanking you for something you didn't do. Yeah, that's the way men are. Scripture says that believers are like little children. Lest you are like a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Men in their pride, they want to do something for what they get, don't they? You'll come before God as a little child and just enjoy His affection and His love, or you won't come at all. These that work the last hour of the day. Well, let's summarize this with a passage out of Romans chapter 9. Turn with me there because this passage tells the same thing that our story tells. Romans chapter 9. Verse 11, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. Many are called, but few are chosen. Speaking of these two boys, Jacob and Esau, before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, God chose one and rejected the other. That's not fair. That's grace. You see, the recipient of grace, that one who works 1 hour at the end of the day, they cannot believe that the goodman of the house would pay them a full day's wages. The recipient of grace says, why would God do this for me? The one who has labored from in the heat of the day from the beginning, who negotiated a contract and thought that he deserved payment, he's the one that murmurs against the householder. He's the one that murmurs against God and says it's not fair. The unbeliever says it's not fair that God would save some and not save others. The believer says, why would God save anybody, especially me? Verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. There's nothing more offensive than these cute, clever little sayings that churches try to put on their marquees in order to attract people to come, and as if they can come up with something more attractive, more appealing than the Word of God. If we had a marquee, which we don't, and I don't imagine we ever will, but if we had one on a church sign, that's the verse we'd put on. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Just leave it. That's what God said. You mean God hates? What saith the Scriptures? There it is right there. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. I chose one. I rejected the other. What shall we say then? What did those who had worked all day say? This isn't fair. This isn't right. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? What does the natural man say? This isn't right. This isn't fair. God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I will do what I will. That's what God's saying. And the mercy beggar bows to that and says, oh Lord, please, please be willing to save me. So then, it is not of him that willeth, verse 16, nor of him that runneth. It is not of man's free will, nor of his good works. It is not of his efforts in any way. But it is of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. Here's the objection again. Here's the objection of that guy that was hired the first hour of the day. Here's the objection of the guy that negotiated a price, that believes that he earned something. Here's the objection. Thou wilt say unto me, verse 19, why dost he yet find fault, for who hath resisted his will? If this is true, then how can God find fault with me? For who can resist the will of God? It's God's fault if I'm not saved. That's what that verse is saying. How can he accuse me? If salvation is up to him, then how can God accuse me? I love what the Lord says here in verse 20, but no, no. Oh man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who are you to accuse God of wrongdoing? Does not the goodman of the house have the right to do with his money what he wants? Does he not have the right to be merciful and gracious to whomsoever he wills? Who are you to call God into question? That's what they were doing in that parable, isn't it? That's what they were doing. They were saying, this isn't fair. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Doesn't the potter have right over the clay? He's the potter. We're the clay. He's got the right to make from the same lump of clay a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. He can do it. And no man can saith unto him, what doest thou? Grace is not fair. Grace is not fair. Grace is grace. And I'm so thankful that we have a God that delights in showing mercy to mercy beggars, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy, by His grace He has saved us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray that You would cause it to be alive and effectual in our hearts. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.